It says in chapter 19. So he's going to judge the world, even though he did not at this time. But, you know, the judgment of God stands. It is what it is. You know, people say, oh, don't judge anyone. And they often apply it to things like fornication or immodest dress. And the thing is, you know, I did not judge any of that. God has judged it. And here's another thing. Your own conscience has judged it. People know. They know that what they do is not, you know, women know that they're not dressing modestly. So would you consider that a modest apparel? Not me, what I consider, I'm just asking you. Would you consider, well, what do you consider that to be? Would you say you dressed with pride today, put a lot of pride into how you put yourself together? And it's good to be clean. It's good to be well kept. Nothing wrong with that. But I mean the kind of pride that's vaunting yourself, exalting yourself. Did you seek to be exalted? I mean, judge these things for yourself. I don't judge. The judgment of God stands sure, and our own consciousnesses are there to judge. And then the Word of God is just a reflection of what's right. So, when God's judgment comes at that time, He's going to stand on Zion, and the judgment is coming. The judgment of the wrath of God. And I guess we'll get into that as we come down here, but, you know, once the seventh trumpet sounds, they're changed, they stand, they're redeemed, and now here God comes to judge, and He's not coming to redeem, He's coming to judge. When they stand on Mount Zion with Christ, redemption, well, that's all done. No more redeeming. Now we're going to do judging. And if you're not standing there faultless before the throne of God, with varying degrees, as Jesus said, the servants that knew their master's will and did it not, shall receive many stripes, but those who were ignorant shall receive few. There are different degrees of punishment that will come when Christ returns. It's not the white throne judgment, the end of all things. The hour of His judgment is the hour at this time on the earth. It is not the final judgment we read about in chapter 20. A different judgment. There's a judgment seat of Christ. We must all stand before it. Verse 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. It's fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Babylon. This is foreshadowing chapter 17, where the angel comes to John and he says, you know, come here, I'll show you the judgment of the great whore. And he sees a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. The fornication is an interesting reference because it is not adultery. It is fornication. Jesus said that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And also whosoever she shall marry. What he shall put his wife for fornication. If a wife sleeps with another man, isn't that adultery? Why would it be fornication? Well, Jesus was referring to something in the law, where when a man would marry a virgin, he expected her to be a virgin, but then he had found that she was not a virgin. She was guilty of fornication. She had been fornicating before they were married, and so Christ says that is a legitimate reason for divorce. Now, before you get the wrong idea, I want you to know, if you married your wife knowing she wasn't a virgin, it doesn't apply. It only applies, and this is under the old law, And of course, it's subject to discretion as well. If you accept that, if you accepted it at the time, you're still bound to her. It's only if on the wedding night she was discovered to have not been a virgin. That was considered a legitimate cause for divorce on the part of Christ. He did not mention adultery because adultery, of course, is always considered a legitimate reason for divorce. But see, fornication is something that happened before they were married. Because actually, under the Old Covenant, adultery, the penalty for adultery was death. Of both the woman who committed adultery and the man who committed adultery with her. So they were both to be put to death under the old law. Now, Christ never suggests that. And in the New Covenant, we're not living under the old laws. But the cause of fornication was a reason for divorce. And the reason I bring that up is because the great whore has committed fornication. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." So you say, I'm afraid that you might bear with someone who comes preaching another Jesus, preaching another spirit, or bringing another spirit, or another gospel. They come bringing other things than that which we the apostles delivered to you. I'm afraid you might bear with them, so please bear with me if I seem a little foolish here saying this. But I have espoused you to present you a chaste virgin to Christ. The whore, therefore, is representative of those who were espoused. They seemed to be Christians. They had been espoused. Because Paul says these things, I'm afraid that this might happen. If it wasn't a real possibility, why would he say it? You know, so many times Christians want to have such a positive aspect about everything. But the thing is, there's a certain degree to which it becomes foolish to not warn people or not be cautious or not exhort them to go on. Because there are a lot of parables out there and there is a bad side you can wind up on. "Cast him into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Christ said a lot of very deadly things that people do not take seriously anymore. And it's going to cost people with light cotton candy, fluffy Christian. That is not the way Christ was. I'm telling you, you have no reason to be afraid as long as you fear God in the proper way and put your trust in Him. And part of that means learning who He is, learning what He wants. I trust Christ for my salvation, so then I better learn as much as I can about Christ, so I know that I'm in line with what the guy I'm trusting says I should do. You know, it's like you say, I'm going to trust this mountain guide to take me up the mountain. So I'm just going to put my trust in him. And then just sit down at the bottom of the mountain and wait to arrive at the top. But the thing is, the mountain guide is going to tell you, I have to lead you to the top. You've got to follow me to the top. And I'm going to take you around all these places. I'll guide you safely. But you have to trust me. And you have to come with me.